Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Just a moment, I'll read you verse 9 and 10. I'm thinking the last few weeks over my testimony and my life and the things the Lord's allowed me to share with you. The Lord brought back to mind this passage, and I want to share with you as much as what's in the passage, what the passage means to me. Almost 50 years ago, I was in Bible class, a young man, a little older than most of you. I was 25 at the time, studying Scripture. We had an Old Testament professor that could really keep us excited about the Scripture. And he said, I'm going to go through a series of 7 methods of Bible study. And you know, sometimes I hear the Bible preached and I get so excited about it. Other times it's kind of humdrum to me. And what's the difference? Every time I preach, I go away thinking I should have said something else, or I wonder how they received it. Then I hear people talking about chapel and they say, I didn't get to chapel day. Who preached? Well, see if I can remember. What did they preach about? I'm not sure. Why is preaching not having the power that it had? In this Bible class, we were told on the first method of Bible study that we should search for opportunity to supply sustaining facts from affirm statements in Scripture. Well, that sounded pretty deep to me. And as the professor began to explain it, he said, we'll start off by having you read the first 9.5 chapters of 1 Chronicles. Well, I diligently did my homework that night, and I read those first 9.5 chapters, and it was the driest, most boring thing I've ever seen. All those Hebrew names I couldn't pronounce. And not really grasping what significance that had, all these lineages. And then I found out that these lineages covered a little over 3,000 years. The two dating methods I looked at both dated this at over 3,000 years between these families. That's a lot of people that had been born in Israel. And you know, as I was reading through this, I went back to class and the professor said, did anything jump out to you guys? And everybody said, no, not really. You mean you didn't get excited about reading the genealogies? Nope. So he said, let's look at verse 9 and 10 from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He said, do you think it's significant in 9.5 chapters of genealogies, the Holy Spirit stops and puts an insert in 2 verses about a man named Jabez? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, this truly is an oasis in the middle of the desert. He said, now, gentlemen, I want you to supply sustaining facts about this affirmed statement that Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Well, we didn't have computers back then. We didn't have Amazon.com. We just had a few books in the library, and I went to search those books about Jabez. I found very little about him. Found out he was from the Kenites and the Rechabites. But there's just nothing else said about him. There's no other mention of him in Scripture. There's a mention of the city of Jabez. Now here's a guy who's not mentioned. And I thought, how can I affirm statements about Jabez being more honorable than his brethren and about this special prayer? And the teacher asked us, has anybody come up with the true meaning of this passage? And nobody had. And he said, I would suggest that you just talk to a rabbi. I thought, now that's a very strange request. So I looked up Beth Shalom Temple in Atlanta and called the rabbi and made an appointment with him. And I sat down with him and I said, this may be a rather strange question to you, but have you ever heard of Jabez? And his eyes lighted up and he said, Jabez? Oh, there's much about Jabez. I said, well, I haven't found anything in the scripture. He said, oh, there's much in the history of Israel about Jabez. So much that God would take 3,000 years of history and focus on this one man and put two verses in that were very, very important. He said, this is the story of overcoming adverse circumstances in life. Well, now, do we need that or not? Is that applicable to us today? We all face adverse circumstances in life. There's no one in this auditorium will not face adverse circumstances. And this old rabbi said, here's the adverse circumstances. Jabez had 10 siblings. His mother and father had 10 children. But Jabez's father died. And after he died, they did the normal funeral services. They got together and they divided up the inheritance. The eldest brother got the largest portion to take care of the family and take care of the mother. But a short time after everything is divided and nothing is left, Jabez's mother discovers she's expecting another child. And so she named him, and Hebrew names are very significant in the Old Testament. You really should take time to study them. Jabez means son of my sorrow. I'm sorry I'm having this child. How would you like to be named something like that? How would you like your mother to say, I'm sorry you came along when you did? You don't have much in life. All the inheritance is divided. It's all gone. There's none left. There's nothing for you. So here's a sorrowful young man with his mother calling him a son of my sorrow. But something happens 13 years after the birth of Jabez. It's time for his bar mitzvah. It's time that he became an adult in the Jewish community. And so he walked down the aisle of the church, and he was to read a passage of scripture and give a prayer. And these two verses contain Jabez's prayer. And God took special notice in the midst of these 3,000 years of history to talk about this one short prayer. And he granted this one short prayer. Here's the proclamation about Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Got a lot of brethren there. 3,000 years of them. He's more honorable. He has more character. He's more sincere. He's looking for truth. Would you expect that out of someone who was born into the circumstances he was born into with no inheritance, nothing coming to him? And his mother sorry that she bore him. But Jabez was more honorable. He had character. And we know that he came from the Kenites who showed kindness to Israel when they came out of the captivity and the Exodus journey. We know he had kin to the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35 who refused wine and would not drink. We know he had a heritage, a great heritage, and ended up formulated into the tribe of Judah, which you well know is the tribe from which the Lord came. So here, the first thing that you learn, God searches the hearts. God looks down from heaven with this young man he's created, Jabez. And he looks at the sincerity of his heart. When God said this about him, he was 13 years old. Do you wonder what God would say about you? You wonder if God is comparing you with others around you, or even within your own family? God says, I'm searching his heart. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the minds, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God understood the heart of Jabez. Young people, this school is all about trying to get you to have an understanding heart, a heart for God. God sees our needs. He knew where Jabez was. He knew what his needs were. Isaiah had to chastise the people of Israel in the 40th chapter, verse 27, 28. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? Israel was in a great dilemma, as our nation is in great dilemma today. And you know what they were saying? God doesn't understand us. God doesn't know what it's like to try to live the right kind of life in this world and under these circumstances. And Isaiah corrected him and said, God knows everything. That's why later God became a man and lived in this earth as a man. God knows everything that's happened to you. He knows everything about you. He knows all your circumstances. And yet he still has a plan for your life. He has a direction for you to go. What were the problems with Jabez? Well, the importance of a name, son of my sorrow. Don't you know that everybody is looking at poor little Jabez and thinking, what a misfortunate young man. All the inheritance gone. Nothing really in line for him. No acceptance from friends because there's no wealth, and wealth sometimes draws people together. No inheritance. One of the great traditions of the Jewish family were passing on the inheritance. But humanly speaking, he had nothing. These are serious problems. These are serious problems for any young man, a teenager. But my friend, God doesn't wait till you get to be 30 or 40 years old to teach you lessons. He starts teaching you lessons as a child. And those lessons should make you into the type of person you ought to be if you pay attention to this book and if you search these facts out. Listen at the prayer of Jabez. Verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now just imagine this 13-year-old boy walking down the aisle of this large temple with all these people sitting there and all knowing his story and all knowing he's got no inheritance and all knowing his mother was sorry that she bare him. And they're all waiting on him to declare his manhood. And he starts off praying to the God of Israel. I don't think it's just the national God of Israel. I think it's the God of Israel, the man, who you remember was named Jacob, the supplanter. A man who had many problems in his young life. A man that couldn't get along with his brother. A man that divided his family. And yet, when he met God, and I believe the angel of the covenant was a Christophany in the Old Testament, and had a wrestling match with God, he was victorious, and God changed his name from supplanter to Israel, a prince. He had a change. And I think Jabez was probably standing up there as a frightened teenager praying before all those people. And he's thinking, I need a change. I need a change like Jacob had when he became Israel. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Well, he knew who to pray for, the God of Israel. He didn't have an earthly father. So he looked to his heavenly Father. But even if we have an earthly father, we're to look to our heavenly Father. Who do you ask for advice? Who do you go to? To whom do you have a personal relationship? Do you, as Paul did, pray without ceasing? Are you constantly talking to God? You see, Jabez knew that man's extremity is God's opportunity. As a teenager, he knew that. Do you know that? When the most serious problems come to life, it's God's opportunity to do something for you that will strengthen your older years and make you into the man you ought to be. He knew what to pray for. I thought about this a lot many years ago. I've read this passage so many times and I've researched it so many times. And every time I go back, I find more things about it. I wondered, what would I have prayed for if I had been Jabez? It would have been just like me to say, "Oh Lord, let my mother marry a rich man. Bring something good to me." But he didn't. He said, "Keep me from evil." But he said, "Expand my coast. Bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." He starts off with a spiritual request. I want to have a spiritual blessing, the blessing of knowing you, God, the blessing of walking with you, God. And then he asked for a spiritual blessing and then a secular blessing. Expand my coast. I don't have any property coming. I don't have anything. And the heritage of property was great in the days of Israel, and they were to hold on to it through the families. It's not wrong to pray for that. He prayed for prosperity. He wanted prosperity spiritually. He wanted to be blessed spiritually. And he wanted prosperity in his life. He wanted to make something of himself. He wanted to be something for God. You see, we get these things out of order often. I think it's pretty easy to get people to pray for their physical prosperity, pray for the things they want. But how hard is it to pray for spiritual blessings? To pray we'd have a right relationship with God. To pray we'd be able to overcome the circumstances of life that is such a burden to us. I've talked to and seen many handicapped people that I thought were so victorious in their lives. I often think of Fanny Crosby's. You thumb through the hymn book, the most beautiful hymns you've ever sang. Most beautiful hymns you've ever heard. And how many people have come to Christ and known more about God because of those beautiful hymns? But you know, she was blinded at birth. When she was born, a doctor put the wrong kind of ointment in her eyes to clean her up as a baby, and he blinded her. How would you have handled that? A doctor's mistake. Well, today we'd probably think about a malpractice suit. But that's not what she thought about. She wrote the most beautiful hymns throughout the Scripture. All about Scripture. And shortly before she died, someone said, "How have you been able to live with a life of total darkness and blind?" She said, "Oh, I'm very excited about it. Because I recognize that the first thing I'll ever see is the beautiful face of my Savior." What an attitude. What a spirit. We have such a hard time overcoming the little handicaps of life. And yet God can get us through this. He prayed for the presence of God, that thy hand might be with me. That's why Paul prayed without ceasing. He wanted to be with God all the time. What is it that separates us from God? It's sin. It's the foolish things we want. It's the lust we have. It's a lack of guarding our eyes and our minds. And those things push us further away from God. Sanctification is moving closer and closer to God and further from the world in which we live. That thy hand might be with me. He's praying for the presence of God, but he was smart enough to know that he would only have the presence of God if he joined God in keeping sin out of his life. What is repentance? Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it this way. Repentance is simply man taking sides with God against himself. Because he has a human nature. So if you're going to truly repent, you'll take sides with God against yourself. Not only did he want the presence of God, he knew something else came with that. That thine hand might be with me. God's hand is a symbol of his power. With his voice and his hands, he created the universe. Mark 14:62, Jesus said, "Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Psalm 16:11, "At thy right hand there is pleasure forevermore." Here's a 13-year-old young man who had a difficult set of circumstances in life, but who recognized he could walk with God. And who recognized he could have the power of God in his life. Wish we had more 13-year-olds like that today. Wish we had more 25 and 30-year-olds like that today. Well, he prayed for the protection of God. That thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Here's a teenager that knew, he recognized what would destroy him. Evil. This particular Hebrew word is used 442 times in the Old Testament. Wickedness. Ways of the world. Worldly rather than spiritual things. If you would protect me and keep me, because it would grieve me, it would fashion me and mold me, and it would grieve you. It would bring grief and unhappiness in my life, God, and in your life. And I don't want that. Can you really say you don't want to grieve God? You don't want to be grieved by evil? When the world we live in is so worldly and there's so much filth, you can hardly go anywhere when you don't see it or hear it. And yet, as the society moves to the left, the church just trickles along behind it. Taking on some of the same kind of music, the same kind of entertainment. And that grieves God. But I'm going to tell you something else. It grieves the people that think that is worshiping. He recognized what would destroy him, but he realized who could deliver him. Lord God, keep me. Be my shield and my buckler. Don't let this thing get to me. As I look out about the student body, I always wonder, how many of you really want God to keep you from evil? How many of you are really partnering with God to keep the things that grieve Him and will eventually grieve you out of your life? Well, the product of his prayer, I like this. God granted him that which he requested. In the middle of this 3,000-year expose, in the middle of all these names, he stopped, he prayed a little two-verse prayer, and it pleased God, and God granted him all he asked. It came from God. It came through constant growth in his life. It came by the grace of God. Well, I couldn't find out much about Jabez 50 years ago, but as time goes on, I've kept up with Jabez. In closing, just let me read you a few things that I found about Jabez from some of the history books of Israel. And some of the older writings of the rabbis. Jabez was prominent, particularly after the exile. He was a scribe and a teacher of the law. Jewish history says the whole tribe of Jethro, the Kenanites, as well as Rechabites, left their habitations near Jericho and went to Jabez to learn the Torah for him. This same 13-year-old boy started a temple for the training of priests and scribes, and he taught scripture, and he trained preachers, and all these tribes went to him to be trained. In rabbinical tradition, in 70 AD, he's mentioned as one of the deathless ones. First time I read that, I thought, what in the world does that mean? He died, everybody dies. But what that means, when Jewish people in the early years ascribed a rabbi or a teacher as one of the deathless ones, they're simply saying he lived a life so that the things he did and the people he reached will never die. It'll go on and on and on. Here we are, 3,000-4,000 years later, we're still talking about this young man. He reached many people. He taught the Torah. What he did in his life will never die. Until Christ comes again, men will be preaching this message. His life had more weight, more importance, because he's a man of great spiritual responsibility. He was called the leader and teacher of the clan of the Kenite family and of the Rechabites, which clan was merged in the tribe of Judah. 1 Chronicles 2:55. He dwelled at Jabez. A whole city was named after him. Did God answer his prayer when he said, expand my coast? He owns a whole city. He's described in this chapter as more honorable, a man of more character than his brethren. But his name was Jabez, derived from his mother saying, I bear him with sorrow. But my, how her mind changed, and how he turned out to be such a great blessing. There are many other things about him. In Hebrews, not naming him, but naming his works. He was a prominent, particularly after the exile among the Kenanites and the clans that embraced Judaism. And he became the leader in teaching the law. Rabbinical condition identifies him with Othniel, the Kenazite, the head of the Bidmarash. After the death of Moses, all these are in secular Jewish historical writings. The vow of Jabez was understood to refer to a schoolhouse. If thou would bless me indeed with children and with many disciples. And it pleased God. And God gave it to him. And for three generations his name dwelt richly among the Jewish nations, as he trained men to serve God, and as he trained men to know God as he had known God. He's mentioned with Jeremiah in the Syriac Apocalypse. One of the deathless ones, he's frequently mentioned. Well, young people, that's why that passage meant so much to me. I read through those chapters. I read that passage for several days and I said, I got nothing out of it. It didn't mean anything to me. Just a bunch of strange Hebrew names. But thank God I had a professor that taught me to look for ways to substantiate biblical statements. Because every time you'll find them to be true. And that's how you study the Bible. And I'm sure that many of you read your Bibles, but I'm just as sure that few of you study your Bibles to really know the meaning and the truth of it so that it will change your life as dramatically as it changed the life of Jabez. Young people, the same God who heard Jabez's prayer is still in the same place. And he's still answering the right kind of prayer. I would to God that some of you would get a hold of this message in the book and know that God can have great, great things prepared for you regardless of how circumstances look today. Read this chapter often. Read these two verses often and know that our God still exists. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. I thank you that you've added it into my life over and over again. Each time I study it, I learn more about it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would make a difference in the lives of some of these young people here. Oh, I know some of them won't remember what was preached on by tomorrow. But I pray that others will take this to heart through the leadership of your Holy Spirit and it would dramatically change their lives as you changed my life with it almost 50 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen.